as The Offspring said back in 1998, I'll see you in Walla Walla. And this is the Fat Man Chronicles.
I was not hiding. I was unsure. And I was really right there.
Welcome to episode 27 of the Fat Man Chronicles. I am Pete. I'm one of your hosts and the author of the Fat Man Chronicles blog. Sitting alongside me is my beautiful wife, Gretchen. And we are just a regular couple on the journey with you to health, fitness, weight loss, and a better life. And I can't ask you what's in that bottle.
There's nothing. There's water.
There's water. Today we're in the water. Well, we're recording at a different time than we normally do. And we're coming off a pretty... a wine-focused vacation.
Yes.
Hence the lyrics about Walla Walla. Although that, I believe, is referring to the prison that's in Walla Walla.
So it doesn't really work.
Well, I mean, it could. Yeah. We were a little crazy on the trip at times.
I thought we were all very well-behaved.
For the most part, we were pretty well-behaved.
Yes.
But it was a good time had by all. We'll recap some of that. There's an article I want to get into that John actually brought up last time we talked to him, John Harris from the Endurance for Everyone podcast.
Yes.
And we're going to start out with our FMC rewind. And I was going to say views from the couch, but it kind of views from the plane.
From the plane, from the bus. Yeah. So since we were traveling, my mom was here. I really didn't get a chance to watch a lot of my shows. So that was upsetting. So I'm really behind. I'm really behind on a lot of my shows. But on the way to the airport on Sunday, when we had our 4-hour car ride at 4 a.m.
It was 4:30.
I caught up on a couple of my shows. I caught up on my Grey's Anatomy. And that show just keeps getting better, I feel. And I also watched one of my Real Housewives of Atlanta while I was on the trip too. So, but yeah, other than that, I didn't. I watched movies. I watched Thor.
I watched that too.
The Ragnarok. That was good. But I love Thor. I mean, he's so pretty.
Thor is pretty.
He's very pretty. And I watched Bad Moms Christmas.
Oh, jeez.
Which is hilarious.
Who's in Bad Moms Christmas?
That's with Mila Kunis.
Oh, very pretty.
And Kristen Bell.
Very pretty.
And this other girl.
So you watched a lot of pretty people on movies.
Yes. And then that movie is hilarious. And as a mom, it's like kind of, it's like funny, you know, it's like you can relate. I can't relate to a lot because these moms are really kind of crazy. But it's kind of like this one's about Christmas and the pressure a mom feels about making sure they have the most perfect Christmas. And their moms came into town, which obviously influences even more. So I was kind of relating
to...
Susan Sarandon was the mom of... the one I can't remember her name. And then Kristen Bell's mom is familiar, but I can't picture her. And then Mila Kunis's mom is like, she's a very famous actress. And she was like, I keep on picturing her in How the Grinch Stole Christmas. But she's also in like so many movies. But you know me, I'm horrible with names.
All right, I'm gonna try to help you out here.
Yeah.
I'm seeing Catherine Hahn.
Yeah. So that was that's Catherine Hahn.
I mean, this is what the Google is for.
Yeah. That's Mila Kunis's mom.
And then I see Cheryl Hines.
Oh yeah. That's Kristen Bell's mom.
So I know her best because of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes. Yes.
And I see you must be talking about Christine Baranski.
Oh, that's the one I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
The daughter, though. She's got brown hair?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it looks like brown hair.
Yeah.
I don't know what's natural and what's not.
But she actually like gets in a love interest with from This Is Us, the pretty boy from the the one that went to rehab. Why am I blanking on his name? Kevin. The guy Kevin from This Is Us is in this movie too.
Well, so he's from our area.
Yes.
He's from the South suburban area.
South side. So yeah. So he was in it too, and he takes off his shirt a lot, so that's always cool.
I like Christine Baranski a lot. She's in Big Bang Theory as Sheldon's mom. Or I mean it's Leonard's mom.
Oh no, so that's okay. So Christine, yes. Yeah, so Leonard's mom, that's it.
Leonard's mom. That's
so
what I meant.
She is Mila Kunis's mom.
Okay. And so Susan Sarandon must be Catherine Hahn's mom.
Catherine Hahn's mom, yes.
They look the most similar.
Yeah. I thought Leonard's mom.
Leonard's mom. Christine Baranski.
Christine Baranski. I thought her and Mila Kunis looked nothing alike. So I thought that was an interesting, you know, casting. But
who would you have cast instead?
As Mila Kunis's mom?
Yeah.
I don't know. She's so pretty, but she's got like such a she's got the dark hair and like almost like an olive complexion, I want to say. I don't know.
Well, if you're going to complain about the casting, you have to have alternatives.
I know. But no, I mean, I love Christine Baranski. I mean, she plays she was a very controlling mom. And so she plays it very well. I don't know if she's controlling in real life, but she plays it well in the movie. So that was a good movie. I enjoyed that. And I also then watched, on the way home, I watched Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. And that's just
Groot.
That's just a funny, like, it's such a good movie. It's such a good franchise. I just love it. I love it. I think they're going to be in the next Avengers movie.
Nice.
I think they're bringing in Guardians of the Galaxy for the next Avengers movie.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah. So yeah, I have views from the plane, but there were movies this time around. But I'm trying to catch up on my shows. I'm watching some Real Housewives of Atlanta right now while I'm trying to work.
I watched Thor, also Ragnarok.
Yes.
And then I watched Three Billboards. I know that's a longer title. It's like Three Billboards in Ebbing, Missouri or something.
Yeah, never heard of it.
Well, the best actress this year,
right.
Frances McDormand, she got best actress for that movie.
I still never heard of
it. And it was good. It was a good movie.
Yeah.
Not, you know, appropriate for us to discuss much of, but I thought it was a really compelling movie. And those were I think I started to watch Coco or something. I was like, what's all the hype on this one? And it was pretty good. Did I finish it? I can't even remember. Cause I was kind of reading,
you're
nodding
watching
off.
Simpsons. You're watching The Simpsons.
At the end, I watched The Simpsons cause I was like reading. Yeah. So it was just like background.
I was starting to watch the DC comic one that was on there.
Justice League.
I started watching that one.
Yeah. I saw that one before with Daniel.
Yeah. So I started watching that, but I didn't get very far into it. Cause I didn't finish Bad Moms on the way there. Which I'm not sure how I didn't, because I mean, it's like a 3.5 hour flight. So all I watched, Thor must have been longer then, because all I watched was Thor and then Bad Moms. That's it.
Well, I only watched Thor and then started watching Coco and I couldn't finish it.
Yeah.
And then I think maybe I watched it on the way. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Either way, though, I remember that our friend Boone watched Thor, but wasn't able to finish it. And then I ruined it for him by telling him the good guys win.
Yeah, he was shocked. He was shocked by that.
I also had spent some time trying to explain to him the difference between the DC and Marvel Comics universe.
There's difference.
And that's like 45 minutes of my life I'll never get back.
But it was spent with Boone, so it's okay.
It was spent with Boone. So
how about you had some running while you were there?
Yeah, because of the way that everything fell with getting the kids and the vacation, I ended up doing 4 pretty hard runs in 5 days, which is probably not ideal.
Probably not.
And it was good though overall. So I did last Sunday, we probably talked about it, I did a 10 miler.
Yep.
Monday I did my tempo workout. So it was a half mile easy, 2 miles at tempo pace and a half mile, give or take, on the cool down. I usually go a little bit longer and just make that full 5K. And then speed work on Tuesday,
right?
Because we were flying on Wednesday,
right?
So I did my speed work then. So I had back to back to back, pretty hard runs, and that one I read incorrectly. I was supposed to do 4 by 3 minutes with a 2 minute rest, and I did 5 reps, 3 minutes with a 2 minute rest. So a little harder than prescribed, but that was good. And then took Wednesday off because we were on our flight. But decided to do my long run that was slated for Saturday on Thursday because it was our first night in, and I just figured we won't do anything crazy. And
we all went to dinner, and then we kind of all just went to bed because we were all so tired because it was a long day of travel.
Yeah, and I'm glad I did, and I was able to get up really early and get out there. I wish I would have brought a headlamp.
Yeah, it was pretty dark.
It was very dark, and I thought that the path would be lit.
It was not.
It was only where the hotels were, was lit, and then it was dark. And I was able to run right on the river there, the Columbia River, I think it is.
It is the Columbia River.
And I was on a path, and at one point, apparently, it splits, and the bike path kind of goes straight, and then you kind of go down closer to the river to do the running. I didn't see that. So I was wondering why there was all these bikes and no pedestrians on there. And then I got to meet a few dogs on the way.
It's always fun when you're running to have dogs run with you.
Yeah, it was a little, I mean, the first one I yelped because I was scared because he just comes bounding out of the brush.
Yeah.
But it was some sort of a mutt, but he was just friendly and wanted to run with me. So you could see that I sped up. My heart rate goes spiking.
Yeah.
And I sped up. And then on the way back, it started to get a little bit light. Light started to come up. And I was on the pedestrian path because I was like, oh, I see a sign now. And I was able to loop onto the pedestrian path. But I went fast for that 10 miles. I averaged like 12:03 pace, which for me is quick.
That's pretty fast.
You know, it's double what like my brother runs.
Right.
You know, I just listened to the Endurance for Everyone podcast earlier, and Rob was bringing that up. Like, he ran NYC in a PR, but somebody he was with, I think he said it's his brother-in-law, something like that, ran it 20 minutes faster. And,
oh, right.
You know, so it's all relative, right? If I could, I wish I could run as fast as Rob
runs. You can't really compare yourself like that. Do what you can do.
That's one of the things I love about running is it's competing against myself.
Right.
Right. I can only do the best that I can do. So 12:03 for me was fast and way too fast. I'm sure that Coach Andy over at Silver Fox is not super pleased
you
that I'm going that
trouble.
Fast. I think he'll basically say, great job, slow down.
Probably.
And we should. And I will, you know, take that into account as I go forward. But it was 4 hard runs in 5 days, and I was able to really hammer the last mile, got under an 11-minute mile, which was great. And it was beautiful. I mean, the weather was perfect for a run. And then I took a day off, and then I ran an easy 5K the next day.
Yes.
Saturday. Yeah, on Saturday. And then took Sunday off. Ran yesterday, and so it's kind of like on every other day right now just because of the way it fell.
Yeah,
and then we'll get back into it. And then this week is a race, so I've got the Shamrock Shuffle.
You're gonna shuffle your way through.
And that is, well, we talked about this before that we didn't have a great race doing that a few years back.
Hey, it was a good race. I finished. That's always a good race.
We were in pain though.
Yes.
And so I am looking forward to this one because I won't be in pain. I'll be able to run the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I will, so I won't run. My long run was supposed to just, it's a cutback week. So it would be, not just, but it would be a 10K.
Just
is terrible.
10K. Just
that's terrible. 10K. You can't say that. That's a long
just
way.
Just 10K.
Instead of doing 10K, I'll do 8K, but I'll do it at, I'll race it.
Right.
So it'll be faster. So the intensity will be there. And I'm jonesing for going for a full marathon.
You are. You've been talking about it for a while.
So I'm now looking at October 14th.
Yep.
In Omaha.
That's what you said.
Omaha. and we'd be able to.
Are you afraid though? Because last time you were supposed to run a race in Omaha
in October.
That's when you had your surgery.
It is.
Do you think you might like maybe that was the cause of it, and like maybe it'll happen again this time?
Just the thought of going
just
to Omaha.
Just the thought of going to Omaha
gave me a pain in the.
Because it's spending time with my family.
There is some time with your family. There'd be time with Holly Ann, too. Oh, and Kevin.
And Kevin.
But, you know, really, who are we going to see there?
Right.
Although I might try to convince Kevin to run.
Well, he would have a very cute cheerleader, Michaela. I mean, she's a great cheerleader.
Go, Kevin, go.
Yes, we can. She can say that. She's got cowbells.
I don't think I can convince him to go slow enough.
To run with you?
To run with me. But I run most of the time alone anyway.
Yeah.
He actually was telling me the route for that marathon is a lot of what they run on for their long runs.
Oh, yeah?
It's right the same exact thing. So it's pretty flat overall. There's only like 550 feet of elevation over the 26
so
miles.
So different than the Cider one. Because yeah. The Cider one had a lot of hills in it.
Yeah. I guess this one's got a lot of bike path, he said.
Okay.
The one thing he warned me about, though, is that it's a good course, but that spectating will be minimal on about half of it.
I could always find my ways.
I know. Well, so this kind of goes like into Iowa.
Yeah.
Right? On the
yeah.
Iowa side, right? Uh-huh. And on that side, I think it's kind of boring. But on the Omaha side, there's like a ton of landmarks, and like you'll run by all kinds of stuff, including Creighton.
Oh, so you go by Boys Town probably then too?
I have no idea.
Because that's right near Creighton as well. So I'll have to look up the course.
Yeah, it looks good though. And so I was chatting with Kevin about it last night, and mm-hmm. he's like, just sign up for it.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're an enabler. I'm like, I'm about 80% sure. He's like, that's plenty. Just sign up for it now. I'm like, we'll just tell Andy on the podcast that I'm signing up for a full marathon. Already
and
done.
And you're gonna need a
we're gonna need some coaching.
Some coaching.
Yeah. Well, he's
well that goes I into the article you want to talk about too. The
it,
whole
it does.
Like you're like 80% sure of doing something, so you just men just do it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. We'll get into some vacation recap before we jump into that, but that's exactly right. And 80% for me is kind of a lot to just go ahead and do something.
Well, you were less than 80% sure when you were planning your trip to Spain here in a couple weeks. So,
oh yeah, we haven't talked about that, have we?
Yeah, you're going to Spain in a couple weeks, leaving me to fend for our child for a full week.
Yeah,
and the older kids too.
Yeah, but it's not like I decided to book a personal trip
to go out drinking in Spain for a week. Yeah.
So I had an opportunity to come up with work where one of the suppliers had a slot open to go to Spain, and I was lucky enough to be asked, and it did take some thought. Look, my life is different now.
Yep.
And although it is work, and believe me, I know everybody's going to be like, oh, poor you. You have to go for a week, you know, to Spain and drink your way your way through
drink
it.
Drink amazing wine.
And amazing food and all that. But it is work. Like when you're at the wineries, you are learning about the wine. This
well,
is about
exhausting. It's long days.
That's the other part.
Right. It's long days.
But so. It's work while I'm sipping on wine. It's not like I'm doing it for pleasure.
Right.
Much different.
Yep.
And
but still will be an amazing experience.
It will be an amazing experience. I just was hesitant.
You were.
It's a lot of food and wine, and my life isn't there, mm-hmm. and we're coming off a trip right now where we did a lot of food and wine, right?
Uh-huh.
And that's okay. You know, you can drink this stuff and get right back on it.
Yes.
And that's basically what we're doing now.
Yeah.
Why don't you start out, like, how was the trip to you?
Trip was good. You know, when we walked into the trip, we talked about like what we were going to do as far as like eating and stuff like that. And I think in general, I did really well with choosing my battles. I didn't have any like extraneous bread. I stuck to, you know, eating most and not a lot of sweets or anything processed. We had salads for lunch. We did have pizza. Like at the first vineyard, they gave us lunch.
Really good pizza.
And it was amazing pizza. And there was like a gluten-free option, but I was like, eh, that's not to. There are some other really well, good that's options not, that, too.
And gluten isn't our issue.
Isn't our issue. So,
But tell everybody about that one pizza.
The pizza that was really good, that was probably the worst one. It had, so it had pepperoni. It had a honey glaze on it with it was like a pepper,
like habanero, wasn't it?
Like a habanero honey glaze, and it was so delicious. And it was like super thin crust, and so that was obviously, you know, that's our. So when we landed on, you know, we all go out to dinner, we get some wine. You know, obviously wine was our vice, right? Like that had our sugar, so all the sugar we had was mostly from the wine, I would say. And then we went out for dinner and I had mussels, and they came with like this, the awesome toasted grill mark bread. And I did have one piece of that. So like, it was like,
how
the
could
first,
you not dip that bread
I was
in that
like
sauce.
Dipping it in the sauce, and I was loving every second of it. But, you know, I made conscious choices. Like I had potatoes. I had my baked potato. We went out for steak one night, and then I had crab, like a crab boil that had like the corn and the potatoes and the crab all in like the boil, and that was delicious. But for lunches, you know, we tried, except for the pizza, but we didn't have a choice. Well, you know, like a vineyard was being kind enough to offer us lunch. I mean, it's not like we could say, oh, by the way, can you get us grain free? I mean, you can't do that.
Well,
you know,
I mean, they asked me if there was any food issues, right?
And,
right?
And
I told them about the gluten, because that's a real issue.
That's a real issue.
We're making choices, right?
So that was important to, and that was great that they were able to accommodate that for Dana and for others. I mean, others ate it too, and they absolutely loved the pizza as well. So, but yeah, it wasn't going to be, we weren't going to be like, oh, and can you have a salad for us? And we had a salad the next day, and we ate a lot of salad. Like each meal, we had a salad with them, and I had my Caesars, which I think I'm good with Caesar for a while, it was so lemony. Like the Caesar dressing that they do out there is like different. It's just so freaking good.
It wasn't as creamy. It was more lemon based.
It was more lemon based, and it was dressed appropriately. Like the salads, like the food was just so great. Yeah. But I mean, I feel like
every stop I felt was really good with the mm-hmm. wineries and everything yeah. that we did. And you know, that first one, kicking it off with Kiona.
Yeah.
Know, thank you, JJ. And
yeah, that was amazing.
And crew over there. You guys, not that if they're listening, but
yeah.
still, if you guys are going to go to Washington and go to wine country, you know, yeah. they're an old school, I think the original winery, really, on Red Mountain.
That's what it sounds like, that they were the very first winery on Red Mountain. His grandfather essentially started the whole thing, you know, yeah. bought it from his father-in-law. So his grandfather bought it from his father-in-law. And his father-in-law, I think if the story goes right, like he was basically telling him he was crazy, that there's no way he can grow wine here. And I think his grandfather had the last laugh in that respect, because they make some amazing wines, and they provide grapes for other
very famous
labels
stuff.
As well. Yeah. So, I mean, it was really cool. And, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, do you know this winery? It's like, we weren't in Seattle. We were 4 hours away from Seattle. Like, we were near Oregon. That's where we were. Like, we could see Oregon.
Yeah. We went into a different part. So there's wine country right outside of Seattle, too.
Right.
And there's a lot of tasting rooms, regardless yes. of where wineries are. They've done a great job of putting tasting rooms in Woodinville and in Seattle.
Yeah.
And that's a great trip.
Right.
But that's a different trip.
Right. We went out to the where they're growing everything.
We went out. And they're growing things over there, too. It's just a different area. Yeah. We went into the Columbia Valley, Yakima Valley, Red Mountain,
yep.
Horsehaven Hills, Walla Walla. So we were more east.
Yeah.
And some south, but more east. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I struggled more after my long run. So
yeah.
I think we did pretty well that first day. Not bad.
Yeah, we had we stopped for lunch and you had a burger, no bun. I had a pulled pork sandwich brisket sandwich.
Yeah,
brisket. That was delicious. And then dinner that night, like I said, I had the one piece of bread, but you had one potato. They had those smashed potatoes with your fish, and you had literally one of those, I think. Or no, mashed potatoes, but still,
no,
it was like a
smash, I think.
We don't consider potato, like potato is not good, but we, of all our lesser, that's like the lesser of all the evils, I think.
Not that we have any proof of that. We just take it that way.
Yeah, we just take it that way because we love our potatoes.
Yeah, and we eat them in moderation. But I had surf and turf, so I had some sirloin steak and my first ever steelhead trout.
Yes, it was delicious.
It was great.
Yeah.
And I think I ate one potato
that
night. And that's not a big deal.
The next day after your long run, you were ravenous. Like there was nothing that was satisfying.
Yeah. So that was the day of the long run, right?
Yeah.
That I did that meal.
And then you had, No.
Okay. So no, I was fine. The day of my long run, I was also fine. No,
but that's when afterwards, after the long run, that's when we had the popcorn in the car.
That was the next day.
Right. After your long run.
I know, but I'm saying.
Oh,
like
you're
it
saying
was,
like
I, it
Friday.
Wasn't, so yeah, it wasn't the day of the long run that I struggled. It was the day after.
I thought it was
everything in sight that day. No, it was Friday.
It was Friday where you had the popcorn and everything.
Yeah, because the Thursday was the first day in the bus. They didn't give us anything. But it was the second and third.
Oh, they gave us scones. We had scones.
Oh, scones.
We had scones. Okay. Yeah. So it was Friday where you had like the popcorn and stuff.
Yeah. All right. So it's Lent.
Right.
So I eat a lot of meats and I'm just ravenous and there's nothing for me to have. Right. So I just start eating and eating and eating and I couldn't get full.
Yeah. Because for breakfast, all we could have was eggs because we can't have any grains and there was no yogurt that didn't have sugar in it. We couldn't have the bacon, which had amazing bacon, but we couldn't have that.
Oh, that
bacon
was unbelievable.
So that was hard. And then, you know, lunch that day was kind of hard for us as well because where we were going wasn't exactly where we thought we were going. Right. So we ended up out far to one of the vineyards production areas. And
which we think Buck.
Yeah.
Buck Milbrandt.
Milbrandt. Yeah. And so there really wasn't anything around there to grab lunch. And so we ended up just going to the grocery store and picking up something there to have.
Well, and it was a grocery store in a small town that really have choices.
Yeah. So we were thinking, like they said it, like if you go on their website, it said it has a deli. So we're like, okay, you know, I figured they'd have like a salad bar. Like I was envisioning being able to make like a big salad.
Yeah, but this is way out in the country. Right. It's not.
And there, you know, I couldn't tell that way on the website. And the only other option was like a pizza place, which I knew wasn't going to be an option.
Yeah, who knew that Subway wouldn't come up on Google?
Right. Like Subway wasn't there. Like all of a sudden after we're leaving, we're like, oh, literally
a Subway
right there.
But that day, I mean, I ate a giant sleeve of popcorn. I ate a couple of, I don't even know what they were.
They were like turnovers, popovers.
They were small, thankfully, like bite size.
Yeah.
And then we got salads at that place and took the chicken off it. Mm-hmm. And then I grabbed a box of Uncrustables.
Oh, yeah.
And ate like three of them. Yeah. Like, I could not get full. And at dinner, I couldn't get full.
Well, dinner, we went out for seafood.
Right.
We went to a seafood place. We had oysters.
Yep. I could have eaten 100 of those. They were really good.
Yeah. And then you had
Ling cod, which I've never had before.
Yeah,
you're two different seafoods.
Yes, look at you. So,
and I ate what was in front of me on that.
Right,
we didn't have dessert. That was the one saving grace until the last night.
Which we had dessert.
We went to Walla Walla and had in between there, we had gone to Alexandria Nicole and they had snacks out.
Oh yeah, but I didn't eat any of the bread. All I ate was the cheeses.
Well, I ate whatever was in front of me.
Yeah,
that day. And that was an awesome visit. They have tiny houses.
Oh, yeah.
That were on HGTV. Yep. What was it called? Tiny House Big Living.
Yeah.
Back in season one, a couple of years ago, like 2016.
Yeah.
They had a contest to build a couple of tiny homes. And they were really, really
cool. They're really cool.
So he's invited us back to stay with him sometime.
Yep. We get to go stay in a tiny house.
We appreciated Jared's hospitality along with the rest of the crew there.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Saturday... well, I mean, the bus ride though, where I'm just like, I'm eating like on that bus ride, I'm just mowing down.
And I had brought a bag of nuts with us, like individual nuts. And so I like threw a ton in there, like almost an entire Costco box.
But there's 10 of people, there's only 16 bags and there's 10 of us.
Right. And I just didn't think everyone would eat. Like I just wasn't thinking. So like going in to Friday, I was like, oh, we'll have nuts, so we'll be okay. And then there's like literally one bag left. I'm like, damn, I guess I should have brought more. I should have portion controlled it out.
Well, but even if you did that, if everybody took one.
I know. I didn't think everyone, yeah, I was not planning on everyone eating the nuts, I guess, was my thought.
Well, then you should have kept them to yourself. You should have been way more selfish.
It was just funny because I felt like everyone was just like ravenous, the wine.
Sure, we're drinking all day, right? And a lot of people on our trip eat like we do now. So our friends Jen and Boone have started an SNG type lifestyle, right? They're less focused on fat than we are. Right. And even I've moderated on that a little bit. It's really just avoiding grains and the sugars. And we've got other people that eat that way too.
Yeah.
A lot. I mean, Pat eats that way for the most part, you know.
Yep.
Dana's got her diet. Her and Dan eat pretty similar,
right?
Overall,
they don't care about the sugar as much as us.
Well, she does though.
But she does. She just doesn't eat a ton of it. But it's
They're much more careful and less processed stuff. And,
right, for sure.
So we had a lot of people who do watch what they eat, and overall, I think did a pretty good job until the last. I mean, Walla Walla was just phenomenal.
Yeah,
I mean,
everyone. Wines are great. Yeah, and everyone then for dinner, everyone had dessert.
A lot of us did. Yeah.
We all kind of just said, you know what? It's our last night. Let's have some dessert.
And I will remember the almond cake at White House Crawford forever.
So I did, you know, they have a three-course pairing. And I was like, you know, three-course meal. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll do that. That sounds like pairing. No, I corrected myself. Okay. Three-course meal. And, you know, I'm like, okay, I'll do that. I'm like, and so, you know, get the breakfast, you know, the appetizer, main, and then dessert. You can choose a dessert. And like, I didn't know what other desserts they had. They didn't give you that menu ahead of time. So I'm like, okay, so I chose my three things. And then after meal, he comes out with the dessert menu. What do I see? First thing. So I already decided I was going to cheat. I'm going to have sugar. I'm just going to, I chose a ricotta, coffee ricotta mousse. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to have dessert. Then I see on the main meal was a carrot cake. I was like, are you kidding me? And you know how much I love my carrot cake. So I asked the guy, I'm like, can I get the carrot cake? And he's like, no substitutions. I was like, son of a. I'm like,
well, it's a prefix.
I get
menu.
It, but if I had known,
you wouldn't have done prefix.
I wouldn't have done prefix.
Seriously?
I would not have.
Wow.
I would have done something. I would, because I could have gotten basically the only thing I couldn't have gotten off the prefix was the gnocchi, which I didn't need to have the gnocchi, and it was delicious, but I didn't need to do that because it had the flour in it. I could have picked something else from the other things.
Potato.
So. Yeah, I would have done something. So then Dana was like, well, I'll get the carrot cake for you and we can switch. And I was like, you're willing to do that? She's like, yeah, I'll eat your ricotta mousse.
And I told her not to enable you.
Right. And then she heard that there was the chocolate
coconut sorbet.
And she just gave me this look and I'm like, it's okay. She's like, I feel bad. I'm like, no, get your sorbet. She's like, but God. And she was, I'm glad she did because she enjoyed that sorbet. And I was like, oh.
I was going to get the almond cake because I love that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
And I was ready to get it. And then Boone was already getting it as the third piece of his prefix, right?
Right.
And I saw salted caramel ice cream. Mm-hmm. So I got that. And then we went halvesies.
Yep. You shared.
Me and Boone shared.
Which is the proper way of doing meals.
We hooked arms.
You did.
It was one spoon. Not true.
So, yeah. But it was a great trip.
It really was. And, I mean, I went nuts one day on eating. Like, really nuts. I mean, I can't believe. Like, I wanted to just. When we're having those turnovers.
Yeah.
I'm like, I could eat that whole thing. And Dana's like, I'm not going to let you do that.
She, we were out and when we were waiting for dinner on Friday night, they had calamari. They got calamari and it was really good. And I'm like, I can't stop eating it. And so she literally picked up the plate and moved it away from me. She's like, I am not allowing you to do this. I'm like, wow.
But that's great that we've got somebody that's got our back, right? And I didn't have any of the calamari, so I skipped the breading.
It was good.
I did make smart choices a lot. More than, except for the one day. Like I had a one day exception and then the one meal. So really not horrible. And I came back and I didn't gain any weight. And honestly, I felt like I was slimmer at one point. But
I think I weighed myself. I think I gained like 2 pounds. That was it.
So. Yeah, I didn't gain anything. So I was pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
I must have needed to eat.
Yes. So, there you go.
So, cool. Yeah. Well, as you were saying, we have an article we wanted to talk about that kind of dives into this 80% sure thing for mm-hmm. my marathon. And basically, it comes from Women's Running UK. And I saw it posted by friend of the show, Megan, on the Endurance for Everyone page. And it kind of gets into why women are better at actually, the title is Why Women Are Better at Ultra Running.
I thought it was going to be Why Women Are Better. I mean, you just stopped
they,
there.
They could have stopped.
They could have just stopped right there.
Why Women Are Better at Ultra Running. And it gets into the fact that there are many places where women and men, because of physical differences, don't compete together in terms of men can win, right?
Right.
They're just, for whatever, physiologically have an advantage. But when you start to lengthen races into the ultra distance, that's where it becomes one of the closest things I think we've got to a gender neutral sport. And I believe that overall, women definitely are better at these longer distances. I think it starts really at the marathon, even though men run faster.
Yeah.
I think more women complete it, not completely in agony.
Yeah.
And probably have less DNFs mm-hmm. Than men. And there's two pieces of it, right? There's the physical piece and the mental piece. And the physical pieces are interesting. You read the...
Yeah, I read it.
You read it. So did you think anything from the physical pieces that were different?
I thought it was interesting because they were talking about how, you know, women are like can be shorter than men. And so it's easier for them to recover. Like their muscle mass recovers faster. They said something about like they don't get dehydrated as much because they're not the surface area of sweat is less on women than on men.
Greater
on women than men. So that could be a part of it. And
I think it's bigger.
No. Women are smaller. So the surface area would be smaller. So they don't sweat as much. So therefore, they don't get dehydrated is what they were saying.
Oh, yeah. Smaller surface area.
Yeah, smaller surface area. Yeah. And then the shorter stride also. So you don't have, with the ultra marathon, there's usually a lot of elevation.
Ascending. Yeah.
And so with the smaller stride, your muscles are recovering faster or something. I mean, it was weird to me. It seemed interesting. Like I would think like a smaller stride, because I have a small stride, that I would put more effort in them. But they were saying something about how the way you're recovering aspect is a lot quicker with a smaller stride or something.
Yeah. I think what they're saying there is just, if you've got on like the downhills, especially,
it's not as
there's
hard
less stressful.
On,
yeah. That so a longer stride would be more difficult. And the thing that got me on it was the fact that they talked about women utilize fat better overall for fuel, mm-hmm. and that they're smarter about the way that they take in carbohydrates. They're more strategic about it.
But they were saying in general, the women are more strategic about the training and preparing and what to bring and stuff like that too.
Right. And I think that all goes together.
Right.
Like if you're more strategic about how you take in carbohydrates, it's because you're thinking about the race a lot more. And again, I have trouble with any generalization. Mm-hmm. Over what this is talking about is that as a population,
right, in
women
general,
are going to be better. And it shows in results. So they're talking about a specific race in this article at the beginning, and the women are three times more likely to complete it than the men.
Yeah.
And that's because the men go out like wild animals and trying to, you know, conquer the thing and then end up either getting hurt or exhausted and drop out, whereas women just kind of plod along methodically.
Right.
And finish the race. So it depends on what the goal is.
Yeah.
And those were all really interesting to me.
Yeah, it was an interesting read, because you don't think about just in general, in athletics, you think that men are typically going to be quote unquote better than women just because they're stronger, they're faster. I mean, just the makeup of the bodies. That's just how it is for the most part, right? But to read this article, when you start adding more distance and some more strategy into something like this, then it's like, it's kind of cool to say, hey, we can beat you.
Yeah. Well, I think
the woman they talk about, like, she came second.
Well, no, there's one that won it overall.
I heard she won. I thought I read that she won the women's version overall, but I thought she came second. Maybe that was a different race where there's a woman that came.
Look, we're sitting in an era where you've got people like Camille Herron who are outright winning ultra distance races.
Yeah.
Including super hard races like the Comrades, the oldest ultra marathon in South Africa, which I really want to do someday.
Mm-hmm.
I have to get much faster. and setting a world record for 100 miles.
Yeah.
I mean, women have it in them, I think, as the distance lengthens. I think anything over 50 miles, they have an inherent advantage from maybe some of these physical things, right?
Right.
But it's really the mental. They had the physicality and then the mentality. And the mentality piece is what really helped me understand better what you've been talking about overall. And there's a few things before we get to that, which is one of the key aspects to this whole thing is pacing.
Yeah.
And women are just better at pacing themselves. So women slow down in the second half, like of even a marathon. This says 18.61%.
Mm-hmm.
They slow down 18.61% less than men. So in other words, they're more consistent with their pacing, which I thought was unbelievable. And then we talked about the nutrition. They're just very, very, very smart on how they do their nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And all that kind of starts leading up to this thing from Hewlett-Packard that they quote. So I'm going to read this paragraph because this was the paragraph for me that I finally started to understand more what you've been talking about and what makes this different. And again, it's not all women.
Right.
But as a population, I think that this holds, right? So it says, in ultras, confidence is a complex thing, though. When Hewlett-Packard wanted to see why more women weren't in top management positions, they commissioned research and made an interesting discovery. Women applied for a promotion only when they believed they met 100% of the qualifications listed. Men were happy to apply when they met 60% of the requirements. Apply that hypothesis to ultra marathons, and female runners won't have signed up for an ultra unless they feel they are fully qualified, whereas men are more likely to sign up with bravado than a relevant running background. So I think from a race perspective, that holds true.
Yeah.
Like for you, you're not going to sign up for a race unless you're sure
that
you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Where it got interesting to me, so now I'm, and I understand also like a little bit more like why you don't like to talk about the training.
Yeah.
Right. In comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to basically have it done, be 100% confident that it was done. Then you'll talk about it in retrospect.
Exactly. Right?
Uh-huh. Not conjecture like I've been doing here with, with a fall marathon, right? But where I think it's very interesting and where that diverges is when it comes to our epic hike. Whereas I'm not 100% certain that you can get it done, but you're like, I got this. So you sound more male, like when it comes to that.
But I also, I think it still goes in like as a female, like I will, like I'm not going to commit to something that if I'm not going to be 100% sure I can do it. So I'm saying I can do it. So therefore I'm 100% sure I will do it. So I think I still think that's part of the female mentality.
I don't see it that way because I understand that you think you can do it. That's bravado though, because you've done zero training to show that you can do it. So why not just go sign up for a marathon then? Because you're 100% sure you can do 25 miles. Because
I don't think I can do a marathon. But I could walk. I believe that, yes, if I could walk a marathon.
Yeah, you can do that.
Well, no. Yes, there is that one marathon that they're doing in Wisconsin, right? And there are walking marathons that we've now learned about. To walk a marathon, sure, I would be able to. But I can't run a marathon. With the marathons that we talk about doing, there's a time limit. I can't do it within the time limit because I can't walk that fast.
So you're confident you can do this hike in Geneva because if we took 2 days, it takes 2 days.
Right. We don't have a time limit. We're not saying we have to do an epic hike in 10 hours. Or 8 hours or 6 hours, which is what the marathon cutoff is, right? Isn't it 6 hours, I want to say?
Well, it depends on the marathon.
Right. So if you were to tell me, Gretchen, we're going to do an epic hike and you have to do 25 miles in 6 hours, I'd be like, eh, that's not going to happen. Because I know my body.
What about
happen.
8 hours?
That's a lot of walking. That's a fast walking. And yeah. I'm not a fast walker. I'm not a fast walker. We know this. I can walk at a good pace, but I'm not a fast walker. So I'm not going to agree to something. We said we were going to do an epic hike. And then you brought up Geneva and we're like, oh, we can go and like walk and stay. We can go like, you brought it up like, oh, we could do like over 2 days potentially.
Well, the reason I said that is because I think going 12, I think to do it with, where you're at, like, or where you can get to, I think it'll take 12 hours.
12 hours nonstop?
No.
That's just a long day.
No. With stops.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
I think it'll take 12. I mean, because if you think about it, right? If you average 2 miles an hour with rest over the course of 12 hours.
Right.
That's 24 miles. And yeah. I think this path's around that.
Yeah.
Around 25.
Yeah.
Right? So I think it'll take us 12 hours. So rather than completely exhaust ourselves, I wanted to look, is there like halfway around the lake that we could stay overnight?
Yeah.
And then finish the next day. Although I'm not sure how good that'll be either, because I bet we're sore the next morning.
Right.
So
it might be better just to do it straight.
Who knows?
But I mean, if we do.
But that is a long, I guess that's my point, right? It's just time on feet,
right?
Time on your feet of 12 hours is
it's a
long time.
It's a long time.
Now we'll rest in there.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, we'll sit down and eat and stuff, but.
Right.
You know, it probably will be moving time of 10 hours, I would guess.
I would probably.
You don't, your fast walk is like 3.5 miles an hour. So if we can,
right.
If we moving can average 2.5, say,
mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, I mean, it's going to take a while, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting. I mean, the article for me just helped me understand like this whole part of, you know, women have to be sure, like levels of confidence are mm-hmm. different for men and women in order to just go ahead and get something
yeah.
kind of signed up for. And I think as history goes on with ultra marathons, women mm-hmm. are going to end up being at least equal, if not dominating the sport in terms of the winners. But for the field, I think women are going to always outshine the men.
Yeah. Sounds like they already are. I mean, they have the statistics true, like the completion rate is, you know, better for women.
Yeah. Even for things like Leadville, you know, here in the US,
mm-hmm.
that's because this other thing was like a race through Wales.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Well, and that's what interests me about ultra running is the fact that you go so far.
But do you sleep? Like, do you sleep overnight?
Some.
Or like you camp or do you just keep going?
It depends on what your goal is, and it depends on the race.
This is crazy.
Look, they have wind. So you want to talk about crazy. Like you've heard me talk about 10 junk miles.
Right.
And they're awesome hats.
Yeah.
That I want.
Yeah.
And that they're Chicago based.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's in kind of the glue, the guy who show to me it really is, and then he has the rest of the gang, Scotty. He got into winter ultras.
Oh my gosh.
So you're talking about pulling a sled through the snow.
You'd be
with
crazy.
Supplies and
you'd be
I mean,
crazy.
It's unbelievable stuff. And I'm not talking about 30 miles. I'm
right.
talking about 80 miles,
yeah.
100 miles, 120 miles, 160
yeah.
miles.
Yeah.
Those things are insane, right? But
yeah, that's
overall,
crazy.
You know, it was an interesting article and.
Mm-hmm.
I can see where you tie into that mentality. I still don't buy it on the hike one, though. But you did get a lot of steps in wine country. You had
I did. To. I did. I got some good steps going.
So you're way ahead of schedule on that.
Doing good. I wasn't sore at all. I was all good.
Awesome. All right. Anything else? Did we miss anything?
I don't think so.
Well, great trip to
yep.
wine country. Love
great
being
friends.
With all our friends. Well, your friends. I mean, I think they tolerate me. But let's wrap it up then.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to episode 27 of the Fat Man Chronicles. Music is You Got Me Wrong by Safar. You want some FMC swag? And who doesn't? We've seen a lot of the Be Better Today movement out there. We appreciate it. Go to, for now, Zazzle.com/Fatman Chronicles and pick yourself up something. Social media, you could find us on all the socials at Fatman Stories. Well, Twitter and Instagram at Fatman Stories, Facebook.com/Fatman Stories. Visit us at fatmanchronicles.com. And please subscribe in iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play, Overcast, whatever your podcast app of choice is, and leave us a review. We really appreciate that. I think one might have come in. We'll get to reviews on the next show.
And, nice.
You know, we really appreciate it, and that helps people find us. That's why we ask for those, just so you understand. And finally, thanks to all our patrons. If you want to become a patron, just go to podbean.com and look up Fat Man Chronicles and you'll see Become a Patron, or go to fatmanchronicles.com and click on the PayPal button. That is it for episode 27. Remember to get out there and be better today.
I was not hiding. I was unsure. And now